Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to the book of Matthew chapter 6. The Word's good, isn't it?
Amen.
The Word is our help. The Word is our hope. The Word is our comfort. The Word is our guide. Praise the Lord. You know, if it wasn't for the Word, we'd never know about Jesus.
That's right.
We wouldn't know how to receive Jesus. Praise God. And we wouldn't know what our reward was from Jesus, what entering into a relationship with Him was like. We wouldn't know about divine healing. We wouldn't know about prosperity. We wouldn't know about peace and joy and all those things. So we're grateful for the Word. Brother Hagin would say it this way. He would say, it seems in all the years of his ministry that the Word would work for the people that were thrilled with it.
Yeah.
When you get thrilled with the Word is when it'll work for you. Well, that just, you know, you don't take what a man says, but that goes along with what the Bible says about hungering and thirsting. It goes along with what David said. David said, I rejoiced at your Word as one who struck it rich, or one who found great treasure, great spoil. So we're excited about this, right? And when you understand that this is not just a book, it's not just a historical account, it's the Word of God. This is as good as God speaking to you. Now, it might not be as cool. I mean, if God was here speaking to you, I think I'd prefer it over the pages, but it's the same thing, right? And it's when you have that kind of faith in the Word of God that, wow, this is God Almighty speaking to me, directing my life. I'll tell you what, it changes your view on the Word. It changes your hunger level for the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, and let's pray. And believe God for utterance. It doesn't seem that we're going right back to the gifts of the Spirit yet. We did finish the revelation gifts 2 weeks ago. And I'm just following my heart and wind to go into the next three. And so we'll do that when the Spirit says to, right?
Amen.
It's good to follow the Holy Ghost. So praise God. Matthew chapter 6. Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful and so thankful to be here. Father, thank you for all of these faithful people that would come out to hear your Word. Father, we're just in awe of you and so thankful and so grateful for all that you've provided for us. Father, the Word is, it's our treasure. Father, it's our help. And so help us tonight. Speak through me that my words would not be my own. Father, like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. What does that mean? Speak through me, Father. Say what you want said. Father, I will endeavor to follow your leading tonight and whatever you want said. Father, take us on rabbit trails. Father, take me off my notes. Whatever you want to do, Father, demonstrate if you want to. Father, you're God. We're just here to do what you want to do. This is your party tonight, Father. We love you. We're so grateful and so thankful for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1 says, take heed that you do not do your alms before men, talking about giving, to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you doest your alms or giving, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that these may also have glory of men. Verily I say unto you that they have the reward. But when you do your alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand's doing, that your alms may be in secret, and that your Father which seeth in secretly shall reward you openly. That's talking about giving. And then he switches over to the subject of prayer in verse 5. He says, and when you pray, notice he said, when you pray, not if. How many of you know we ought to be praying?
Amen.
He said, when you pray, and if you haven't, men, just start. Just start. When you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. After this manner, therefore, pray. Now, this is what we commonly refer to as what? The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus just got done saying that we don't pray to him in vain repetitions. So when he says to pray this manner, he's not saying to use these exact words. He's given us a guideline of how to pray. He wouldn't just get done saying, hey, don't say the same thing over and over to God, and then say the same thing over and over to God. Not that saying the Lord's Prayer is wrong, but I'll tell you, a lot of places just do it out of repetition, right? They don't really have a relationship. I'll tell you, can you imagine if my son came to me every day and just said the exact same thing? That kind of puts a crunch on the relationship, right? Hey, we talk to each other. How's your day? What's going on? What do you need? How's things going? And we interact. And so God, Jesus isn't telling us to say this prayer over and over and over again, but he's telling us this manner, therefore pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Notice it always started with worship. He said, come into his gate. That lines up with the word. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is what I want to focus on. I read all those verses to bring us up to this verse. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray, verse 9, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed by name. And then he tells us in verse 10 what to be praying, in what manner. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. One of the desires that I have, or one of the wills that I would have for my children, and I can't wait, and I just hope that they take to it because they have a part to play. You know, one thing I'll never do is force my kids to be in anything that they don't enjoy. You know, I'm talking recreationally. You know, just because I played baseball, I'm not going to force that upon him or upon Abby, although I just really will be disappointed if she doesn't play softball at least. I just want to just put that out there. So I'm telling her that right now, just so she just looks at me and says either okay or no. So some days I'm thinking, okay, we got this. Our days it's no. So anyways, but you know, so that they're going to let them, you know, do what they want to do, and it's never going to interfere with church. Church will always come first. And so, but one of the things that I really hope and that I'm really excited about them getting older is the most thing I could be more excited about them playing sports would be to go hunting with me. They already have a little bit. You know, Abby stands out there when I shoot the chipmunks that are getting into our stuff and chewing everything and you know, leaving a mess. And Caleb's gone hunting with me. He went deer hunting with me this muzzleloader season. And it was, hunting-wise, about the worthless thing I could have ever done. Why? Because remember what you were doing, buddy? He was taking bark off a tree and throwing it in the air as high as he could, and it was hitting the ground and making all sorts of noise. Well, deer don't like that. But anyways, you know, I'm not going to sit there, you know, yell at him for that and turn him off from hunting. So we were in the woods, and we just kind of sat there. But it was fun. But I can't wait till the day, you know, other states besides New York, they let the kids start hunting in a youth mentor program. He could start hunting with me right now in Pennsylvania. You know, I'd have to carry the weapon, but he's able to shoot it and different things like that. So I'm excited about that. That's my will. That's my will. But his and Abby, they have to cooperate with that will for it to come to pass, right? And if it doesn't, if they're not interested in it, so be it. But I'm trying to bring out an example that my will is that they both take to it and that they both enjoy it and they both want to be with Daddy when he's in the woods and they both just love it and have a good time. That's my will. That's what I hope, right? That's what I want. But there's things that they have to do to make that will come to pass. They have to like it, have a desire to do it. Then they have to practice whatever weapon, whether it's a gun or a bow. They have to be good enough to where I can ethically take them into the woods and know that they're not just going to wound things. That, you know, that happens at times, but that should be an accident. That shouldn't be the norm. Right. We should be practiced and we should be skilled at what we do. And so he's got to do that. They got to show interest in it. They got to behave right to be able to go do those fun things. So there's lots of things that they have to do. Even though it's my will that that happened, there's still things they got to do. And isn't it amazing that we don't have to turn to verse 9 because we're going to focus on verse 10, that Jesus said, pray, pray what? That the kingdom come, that the will of God be done on the earth as it is in heaven. That's telling us that God's will is for heaven to invade the earth. That's God's will. God wants what's going on in heaven to take place down here. Well, why wouldn't he? Loves people. What's going on in heaven? Health, prosperity, peace and joy, all those wonderful things. We all know people that have gone there, and oh, I'm jealous of them, right? Praise God. So we'll get there. We're not checking out yet. We got too much to do down here, and we'll get there and see them, but they're enjoying it. But God says, I want you to enjoy it. But notice that for the will of God in heaven to happen on the earth, prayer has to take place. Even though God might want the will of God to happen, or the kingdom come, the heaven on earth to happen on the earth, even though that's his will, it doesn't mean that it would happen automatically. Jesus is saying here that even though God wants something, It won't come to pass, even though it's God's will, it won't come to pass unless people pray, unless people line up with it. And we've talked about these things before, and this will probably be a two-week message, so because this week we'll probably deal with the kingdom. And then next week we're going to deal with your own life. So see how we held your part off to make you come back a second week?
Yeah.
But I believe we're excited about kingdom things too. In Matthew chapter 9, well, let's see, do I want to go there first? You know, go there and you can hold your place or put a bookmark there if you have a little, and then I'll see if I want to start there. In fact, I don't. I want to go to Daniel 9. Daniel was a man of God who understood these things. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1, in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1, I want to read this to you. It says, now Daniel understood these things, and we can learn something from Daniel. In the first year of Darius, who was a king, the son of, Ahasuerus or something. Like, I mean, what does it matter? I mean, that's the reason we didn't name him that. Because I was like, he's going to have a tough time spelling that. I'm not going to know how to even pronounce my own son's name, so we're going to skip that guy. We were close, though. It was close. We were Ahasuerus, Caleb. We prayed. The Holy Ghost said Caleb. So, okay. Well, Caleb. Of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now, a little bit of background here. I've got to remember my Bible school knowledge here before we go forward. The desolations of Jerusalem is talking about the fall of Jerusalem, which happened to Babylon, which was run by King Nebuchadnezzar, in about 586 or 587 BC, which stands for before Christ. And so he's talking about the desolation of Jerusalem, and he's saying he understood by the word of the prophet the years about the desolation. What happened was, when Jerusalem was overtaken by Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible tells us that through the prophet Jeremiah, that for 70 years Israel would be kept on the outside, and they wouldn't be able to come back and get that back until 70 years. And Daniel's saying, I understood it by the books. He found or got the revelation of Jeremiah's prophecy that said for 70 years Israel is going to be captive. Now, to understand what year they're in, Darius became king right around 522 BC. So if you take 586 or 87 minus 522, you're talking about 63, 64, 65 years. So we're 63, 64, 65 years, somewhere in there, into this 70 years. And Daniel finds that that's the word of the Lord. That's from the prophet Jeremiah. So that's the will of God, that that's what's going to happen. God has declared it. That's what's going to take place, that the time's almost up. It's time for Israel to come back in and Israel to take her place again. But notice what Daniel did in verse 3. And I sat around and ate Cheetos and watched TV because the word said it would happen and it would just automatically happen. That's not what he did. He found out the will of God. And the Bible says he set his face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer, supplications, fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And if you read on, he's praying about this captivity being turned around. Here the will of God was stated, the will of God was said, yet somebody still prayed the will of God. See, God can want something on the earth, but it's not enough for God to want something on the earth. His people have to want something on the earth. John Wesley said this. Now, if you're from a Methodist background, I'm not belittling the Methodists. That's where I came from. I'm thankful for that background that taught me certain things. But where the Methodist Church started and where the Methodist Church is now, it's different from where it started. John Wesley was a man who believed in the laying on of hands and healing and praying in other tongues. In the Methodist denomination that I came from, they didn't believe in that anymore. And I'm not saying maybe they all do or whatever, but I'm just saying what my experience. Amen? And so John Wesley said this. He said, it seems as though the Lord can do nothing on the earth unless somebody asks him. Even though God wants to do something, he needs people to pray it out. Don't you think that God would want heaven on earth for people? Absolutely. But why would Jesus then say, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Because it won't automatically happen until people are praying. So this week and then next week, I'm going to show you in the Word of God. First, I'm going to set the stage or lay the foundation of this principle. Because this goes against religious thinking. It goes against religious teaching. Because many people, Christians I'm talking about, are convinced that God can do whatever He wants to do. That God will just do basically a que sera, sera attitude, which is whatever will be, will be. If God wants to do it, God will do it. If God doesn't want to do it, God won't do it. And that thinking has kept people bound. The devil just rubs his hand with a smile and says, I got him. Because people sit around thinking, God's just going to do it. And then nobody does anything. Like I said, sitting on the couch just eating Cheetos. Well, God just said it would happen, so I guess it's just going to happen. And then nobody prays. Nobody sets forth to seek God for his plan to come to pass. And then God's plan goes without coming to pass. But first you need to see that in the Word of God. And the Word clearly proves that. And I'll show you that. But we need to get that settled in our hearts. Because once we get that settled in our hearts, well, we will then have the motivation to do something about it. Because if we're still under that old system of thinking that, well, whatever happens, happens, we're going to have trouble getting motivated to do it. Because why pray if there's no use of it? If God's just going to do whatever He wants anyways, what's the point? Well, let's take a look at what the Word says. Always let the Word do the talking, right? Always let the Word be the backbone and the proof. The proof is in the pudding of the Word. Hallelujah. So Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. But this week, after I set the foundation, the one thing we're going to look at, and we've talked a lot about this recently with the gifts of the Spirit. And again, you know what's awesome about Brother Hagin? His ministers would say this. They'd say, Brother Hagin has delivered us from the fear of repetition. If you listen to his messages, years and years, they're the same things over and over. There's safety in that. You see, because the Word never changes. Be very wary of somebody that has something brand spanking new that nobody's ever heard of. Listen, every bit of revelation from God that's ever going to come is already contained in that book. Now, we might get enlightened on some things, and we might have our eyes open to some things, but it's not going to be outside the boundaries of what's already written. This is His will. This is His Word. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, we're going to look at things. And I say delivered from the fear of repetition because I'm going to be mentioning some things that we've heard recently about our part to play in seeing the move of God in this church. Our part to play seeing the move of God in Cattaraugus in Chautauqua County. It won't happen unless we do our part. Praise God. So I want to get this instilled in you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Peter said it's not grievous to write the same things unto you again. He said, I don't mind. Paul said about the same thing. Fine with me. Let's just keep saying the same things over and over. He said, for in doing so, I keep you safe. Yes. Praise God. The manual never changes, so be weary when the messages start really changing. Hallelujah. Matthew 9 and verse 35. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The Amplified says they were dejected, harassed, distressed, and bewildered, sheep without a shepherd. I appreciated, I don't know, Trishina sent me a picture. She is one of the faithful people that come to Olean. It started with us pretty much right from the beginning. And she sent me a picture of a sheep that had wandered away from the flock for 6 years. And you have never seen a funnier looking sheep in your life. The hair grew on this thing. The thing was humongous. Good heart, and it was just wobbling like this. Oh, that sheep looked funny. But then it got back in the hands of the shepherd, and the shepherd, within 20 minutes, fixed everything that went wrong within 6 years. Shaved that thing off, got the thing the right food, put the sheep in the right place, right? It's important to have a shepherd. Amen. It's important to have a shepherd. I have a shepherd. I wouldn't know what to do without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd are in trouble, praise God. That's right. And he said, "Their sheep having no shepherd." Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Now, in context, he's talking about laborers that would be shepherds, right? Because he just talked about shepherds. But it's also the case for laborers, because shepherds, they shepherd the harvest, but shepherds aren't the only ones that pick the harvest. Amen? Shepherds shepherd the harvest. So notice, how many of you know laborers are important when it comes to the harvest? Yes, amen. You know, you can have a big apple orchard with beautiful, you know, acres and acres, or grapes, whatever, and beautiful apples on the tree, and you have just hundreds of acres behind your house of apple orchards, and all these, and you had a good apple crop. And it could be, you know, maybe just you and your spouse or just yourself, and you don't have anybody to help you pick that harvest. How many of you know? Many of those apples are going to rot. Many of those apples are going to fall to the ground and never be used for what they could be used. I mean, how tragic to not have like apple pie, right? I mean, that's horrible. Or apple crumble, or whatever you make. It's stuff, I mean, that's just horrible. Or just an apple, because apples are good for you. But anyways, my point is you need laborers. Now, if Jesus just said, "I have compassion," one translation said he pitied them. He pitied them. He got to a place where he actually had pity on them because they didn't have a shepherd to help them. So then he says, we need more shepherds. And we also know in context about people get people saved and things, we need more people to tell people about Jesus. Well, if he had compassion on them, we know his heart is that people would not only be picked, but people would be trained or pastored or shepherded. Praise God. So we know that Jesus dying on the cross for our sins saved us. Praise God. But the Bible says, how then will they believe? This is Romans chapter 10. If they've never heard, how did you believe about Jesus? You first had to hear about him. But then it says, how will they hear if nobody tells them? If there's no proclaimer or preacher? You're all preachers. I don't know if you know that or not, but you're a preacher. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. It doesn't mean get behind a pulpit and put a suit on and a tie. It means proclaim the word of God. We're all preachers. It says, how will they hear? How will they hear? Or how will they receive if they haven't heard? And how will they hear if nobody says anything, right? And then he says, how will somebody say it if they're not sent? Talking about a laborer, praise God. Who was that laborer that got you? I mean, somebody got you. Somebody was sent to you. Somebody came across your path. So that's the process of salvation. Very important to the Lord. Because if Jesus just dies on the cross, and nobody's there to tell people about Jesus dying on the cross, and to pick that harvest, it's like having a awesome crop of something, but nobody there to pick it. Yes, Jesus died on the cross, and that's awesome, but we need people to do it, praise God. And that's going to go forth by laborers. Laborers are, that's why Jesus said, how beautiful are the feet that preach the gospel, that go and preach the gospel. That could be talking about you. That could be talking about me tonight, talking about different things. Praise God. Hallelujah. How beautiful are the feet. So, if we know that the harvest is dependent upon the laborers, wouldn't you think, obviously Jesus is saying, my will is that there's laborers. So then wouldn't you just think 1 + 1 = 2? That if it's that important, if it takes people to get people born again, why doesn't God just send laborers out into the harvest field? Don't you think if he could, he would? Sure. Absolutely. Jake, pull up verse 37. He says, then he said unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 38, pray. Remember, thy kingdom come. He said, thy kingdom come. Pray that thy kingdom come. We know the will of God is that heaven on earth. But Jesus said, for that to happen, we need to pray. Now he's saying, for laborers to be sent out, I can't just do that. You got to pray for it. Right. See, because you have to understand that the world, and this will help you with things, is run by the devil. This is blasphemy in most places, but it's word of God here. because it's the Bible.
That's right.
And remember what I said on Sunday? Pastor Mike, what makes you right? The Bible makes me right.
Amen.
Amen? And the Bible makes you right. We don't stand alone in our own knowledge. We stand alone. We stand with the Word that makes us correct. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 that Satan is the god of this world. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. The Bible in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was led into the wilderness, we see Jesus up on a mountain and the devil said to him, look out all over the kingdoms of this world. He said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I will give them to you. Well, you can't give something that's not yours, and it would have never been a temptation to Jesus if he really wasn't the devil's to give. That wouldn't have tempted Jesus much to say, well, it's already mine. It's already God's. It wasn't. The world or the power of the world was transferred by Adam and Eve, right? In the Garden of Eden. God gave them dominion. They gave that dominion to the devil. So it's important to know that because we want to think, well, that's blasphemy. That's making our God out to be somebody that's weak and somebody that can't do anything, and that it makes him less than the devil. No, it doesn't. It makes God a keeper of his word. It makes God a man, or he's not a man, he's a spirit, but you understand what I mean. He's full of integrity and character. God, see, transferred the keys. If I gave Jim the keys to my truck and gave him the title and said, now it is yours, here, I'm giving it to you, that's what God did for Adam and Eve. He said in Genesis 1 and verse 26, I give you dominion. I give you the authority. He said, here, do with it. Now, what they do with it is up to them, not God. What Jim would do with that truck from here on out, it's not my deal anymore. It's his, right? What he does with it, whether to take care of it, whether to run it into the ground, that's not my fault anymore. Someone says, man, I saw your truck, Pastor Mike. It's all crashed up and it hasn't been clean. It's full of rust. I say, I didn't do that. That's not my fault that it's like that anymore. I gave it to Jim. Well, people are saying, God, you sure have this place in a mess. You sure are a lot of horrible things. There sure are a lot of horrible things going on in the world. And God is saying, this ain't my doing. I gave it to Adam and Eve. They just chose to give it, or to say I gave it to Jim, and he chooses to give my nice truck to somebody that's not going to take care of it anymore. That's his prerogative, if I give it to him. Well, God gave it to Adam and Eve. They gave it away to the devil. And 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says, he is the god of this world. That's why we can see. Why can't God just do anything he can on planet Earth? Because he's not a violator of his word.
Amen.
Now, Jesus coming and dying on the cross and defeating death, hell, and the grave, praise God, took the authority back, right? Now, he still has control of the world and the people in the world, but he doesn't have control of the Christian anymore. And we don't have time to teach on that. How Jesus spoiled principalities and power. Jesus died once and for all for our sin. And by accepting Jesus, we're now meant to reign as kings. We've been given authority over the devil. So the devil has his plans. God has his plans. But to get God's plans on the earth, God needs the ones that are now in control of the devil, which is us, to welcome or allow those plans in. So when we see here, this brings out the point almost more than anything to me. That there's nothing more that the Father wants is that a picked harvest and then a shepherded harvest. What did he say to Peter? Feed my sheep. He's saying once they're in the fold, and we already know he wants everybody in the fold, he died and hung on a cross to prove that to us. He died and went through hell to prove to us that he wants us to be his. And then he told Peter three times, he said, if you love me, you'll feed my sheep. So we know he wants the harvest picked and that he wants his sheep fed, and that's going to come through laborers, and we know that's his heart. So if he could just do whatever he wants, he'd bypass man, which stumbles and trips and falls and misses it and doesn't do the right things. He'd bypass man if he could and just do it himself and take care of it, but he can't. That's why Jesus said, pray. See, when we pray for laborers to go into the harvest field, that's why if you have an unsaved family member or friend, you pray and say, Father, send a laborer across their path that they'll listen to. Because that's in line with the Word of God. He's waiting for you to be able to sick somebody on that person.
Amen.
Absolutely. You pray and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, send a laborer across their path that they'll listen to. Amen. Because some of you know, sometimes the people that are closest to us don't want to listen to us.
That's right.
Right? It's kind of like that Jesus in his own hometown kind of business. You know, you're just so and so. I'm just Mike to, you know, a lot of people. You're just so and so. They don't realize that you have the greater one on the inside of you, that you have this anointing on the inside of you, that you have this ability to help them and change their lives. A lot of times that's overlooked because they just know you. They're too familiar with you. That's why we have to guard against familiarity, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we see that there. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. So we see God can't do anything he wants, I guess. I guess he needs our help. Now about that time, Acts 12 verse 1, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed, that's amazing, James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, just so we know who we're talking about here, we're talking about one of the top. There was a few different James there in the New Testament, and this one's talking about one of the 12 disciples, and it's talking about one of the top three. Remember when Jesus would go to do something extra special, or he'd kind of single out a few people? He always singled out Peter, James, and John, right? When he went into for Jairus's daughter, he got everybody else out and brought Peter, James, John. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John. All different places in the Word we see. And so not only were the 12 the top dogs, but even within the 12, there were three that were singled out that for some reason, when Jesus had to get down to the nitty-gritty, he brought them. Well, so it's not amazing then if the Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the devil, right? That's what the Word says in Ephesians chapter 6. That the devil would work through an evil king, an evil leader. Well, he did. And notice how the evil leader went for the top dogs. He went for James, and he got him. Killed James. Herod killed James, the brother of John with the sword. No doubt the devil was working through him. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further. Well, I guess where else he went? Now he went to another one of the top three. He went to get Peter. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison. See, if these things don't wake us up to pray, nothing is going to. I'm just telling you, if the Word itself will not wake us up to pray. I heard a minister say this one time at a table in the back room. I'm so thankful to get to go to those things and hear them input things that maybe they can't share from the pulpit. But one minister said this. He said, it's a sad thing when people, they can pray and avoid things. He said, it's a sad thing when people are forced on their knees to pray because they've hit rock bottom. Let's not get there in our lives. Let's not get there with our church and different things where we could pray and make things happen and not have to be forced to do it. And that woke me up. My God, that woke me up. And if these things don't wake us up, there's nothing that's going to wake us up to do this. He said, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in the prison and delivered him to the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Now, before I go on here, do you think that it was the will of God for James to be murdered? No. We know that it was not the will of God. God is not a murderer. Remember when Abel was murdered by Cain? The Bible talked about how sin got a hold of him. When you see things like that, it's not God doing it. God's not behind murder and things like that, my goodness. And it says that, so we know the will of God for James was to fulfill his call, to preach the word of God, to do what he was called to do. But it says Peter was therefore kept in prison, so Peter's in the same predicament. But notice the Bible makes mention that something happened for Peter. It says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So James, this mighty man of God, is killed. It pleases the evil leader. So he takes Peter, and he's going to do the same thing. And something woke the church up. All of a sudden, the church must have had a revelation. I guess two things. I guess that whatever God wants to happen isn't just going to happen. And I guess that our leader can't just stand on his own. That's why I always tell you, covet your prayers. Covet them. This is not a one-man show. This is not. God might give the vision to me, and God might anoint me to carry out the vision. But I can't carry out the vision by myself. I can't do this all by myself and do this plan. I need people praying. I need people seeking God. I need people doing things naturally in the church, right? Yeah. Praise God. And so they had a revelation. We better do something. And they did the right thing. They started to pray. Now, we know by what we've learned so far tonight that when they prayed, God's hands went from being tied to untied to now be able to work his will on the earth. Well, what happened when the church prayed? And when Herod, verse 6, would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the prison and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird yourself and bind on your sandals," and so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast your garment about you and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and it was not that it was true which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. He didn't know it was an angel, he thought it was a vision. When they were past the first and the second one, I mean, they're just going right through this thing. Jim, they needed you there. I mean, you wouldn't have let them. You'd have got them. Then they were there, first and second ward. They came under the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened them to his own accord. And they went out and passed around the street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. Peter was delivered. Chains fell off him. Well, why in the world didn't God do that for James? God couldn't do that for James. Do you think God wanted to do that for James? Absolutely, God wanted to do that for James. Absolutely, God would want to do that for James. But God couldn't and didn't do anything until he was able legally to do something. When the church, who has authority over the one that was keeping Peter, which is the devil and his cohorts, prayed, the devil's authority has to bow. What does the Bible say? Whatsoever things you bind on earth, heaven will back you up.
Hallelujah.
That's what it says. Heaven will back your words up. We don't realize the authority that we have in this life. Hallelujah. In fact, I'll say it this way. We have the name of Jesus, which is like power of attorney, which means we can walk and talk and act in this world as if we were doing business as Jesus Christ himself. It's the truth. Didn't he say, "These works that I do, greater works you'll do"? Praise God. Hallelujah. He did say that. Hallelujah. He said, "You'll use my name. You'll cast out devils. You'll heal the sick." Praise God. Through the name, the power of attorney, doing things. See, it's better now that Jesus is gone, which he said, because now there's a bazillion little Jesuses running around.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He's not here to lay hands on the sick anymore. He's not here to fill people with the Holy Ghost. He's not here to do all this other stuff. But we are. Praise God. So in verse 11, we see that they were delivered. Verse 11, it says, "And when Peter was come to himself, he said, 'Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews.'" Now notice this. "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together eating Cheetos." I have Cheetos on the mind. You know what I'm going for after service? Right for the Cheetos. We like our Cheetos, don't we, buddy? I like our Cheetos. Praise the Lord. We like our Cheetos. And so they weren't eating Cheetos and kicking back. Am I have a problem with eating Cheetos? No. Do I have a problem with kicking back? No. But I'll tell you what, I have a problem when we don't pray.
Amen.
And they didn't pray, and it cost them dearly. But they prayed with Peter, and it worked. And look what it says. "When they considered whose surname was Mark, where they were gathered together praying." Isn't it amazing? He was delivered. They didn't know it. But while he was delivered, what were they doing? Praying. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that clearly shows us and points out to us that, hey, without prayer, there's no deliverance. Without prayer, God can't do whatever he wants. Well, what does it say over there in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will..." Notice that for the will of God to come to place, there has to be an asking.
Sure.
He's saying there's a will, but you have to ask me for my will. He's saying, yes, I want to do something. I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I want him to be into hunting with me. I can't tell you how much I desire to take him out and to see him get his first squirrel or to see him get his first turkey or his first deer. I want that so bad. But it's not enough for me to just want it. God wants his will on the earth so bad, but it's not enough for God to just want his will. He says you have to ask according to his will. We don't have to turn there, but I'll just say it real quick. In Matthew 6 and verse 8, Jesus said, your Father in heaven knows of what you have need of before you ask or enter into faith with him. That's what that's talking about, the prayer of faith or the prayer of saying, praise God. He said he already knows what you have. Well, is it not God's will for your needs to be met? But yet, do you have to do something to get those needs met? Absolutely. You have to cooperate. Faith, right? Seeking him. Prayer of faith. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Hallelujah. Notice it says in Mark 11, 24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. The you shall have them part doesn't come before your part, which is desiring, praying, and believing. God's desire is always to get you the things you need and the things you desire. But he needs your cooperation. Amen. Hallelujah. So, real quick, and I mean that, it's not going to take that long. Go to Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. And Zechariah is towards, actually it's the book right before the book of Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament. So it's the second to last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. Now, let's see here. How do I want to do this? Hold your place there with whatever you have to do. I'm just flip over to Acts. You're going to have three spots open here. This, we're just going to really put you to the test here. We're going to see what kind of multitaskers we have in this place. Or just say, Pastor Mike, forget you. I'm just going to look on the TV. Whatever you want to do, it's up to you. Acts chapter 2 in verse 16. That's where we're going to start here. Acts chapter 2 in verse 16. Now, this leading up to this, for time's sake, is when the Holy Ghost was outpoured on the earth. It was the first time that the Holy Spirit had ever been poured out into the earth like this, right? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues. People were weirded out. It led to people being born again. See, the move of God always, it led to 3,000 people giving their heart to Jesus. The move of the Spirit always leads to profit, right? The manifestation, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, is given that we would profit. When the Spirit manifests, we're not lessened. We're not taking a step backwards. We're bettered, praise God. So we want the move of the Spirit. We want the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So in verse 15, it says, these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. Now notice the terminology. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And then it goes on to say, when that happens, some supernatural things happen. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven, signs of the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, smoke, sun shall be turned to darkness, all those good things. And it talks about when the Spirit of God's poured out, supernatural things happen, which leads to people being born again. Right? That's what we want. Well, he said that was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now go with me to the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. Over in the Old Testament. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, where are you, Joel? You're in here somewhere. Praise God. Well, I do know how to find this because you know why? Because I have a thing called, whatever that thing's called, the beginning where it tells you all the numbers. I tell you, I'm not very smart sometimes, but anyways, I can read numbers. Joel is in, there it is, 905, okay. So 905 if you need it. 905. In Joel chapter 2, let's see where I want to start here. Oh, let's see here. In 23, remember now, Peter is quoting what Joel said about pouring out the Spirit. So he's quoting this portion of Scripture that we're going to look at. In verse 23, it says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." So it's talking about rain, which kind of is the same. When you hear rain, you think of water. The word pouring would be, right? Downpour, things like that. And so there's a natural and a spiritual connotation. Of course, farmers know about the early and the latter. They need the rain and things like that for things to grow and to take off. But spiritually, we need the rain. And we know by Peter quoting this and saying this in terms of the Spirit being poured out, that Joel was not just talking about natural rain. Because it goes on to say in verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit." Well, what's he talking about? The rain. Yeah. The rain. Do you see that there? "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." This is exactly what Peter just quoted. So with that being said, I told you to go to Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. So when the rain is poured out, just like natural rain, when rain is poured out, it causes increase. It causes growth. It causes change for the better, doesn't it? Well, spiritually, we already saw in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit was poured out. And by the way, what were people doing before the Spirit was poured out? Praying. They were in the upper room. Why do you think Jesus told them to be there doing that? Because just because something is the will of God, we want it to take place the way God wants it to take place. So they're up in the upper room, they're praying, and boom, God has a place to move, right? And we see that it was an outpouring or a downpour of the Spirit, and it caused things to happen for the good. So we know that's what the spiritual rain can do. So we could say it this way, that of course if it causes something to come for the better, that God's will would be for the spiritual rain to fall on our land. So Zechariah 10, in verse 1, says, "Ask, ask, ask." James says this, "You have not, because you ask not." He says, "Ask ye the Lord the rain in the time of the latter rain." Well, talking about that rain again, the former, or the early and the latter. Well, what rain do you think we're in? We're in the latter rain. Say, what are you talking about? Well, Peter said that Joel said, "In the last days I'll pour out my Spirit." When that happened on the day of Pentecost, that was the marking or the beginning of the last days on planet Earth. Now, we're thousands of years ahead, so how much more are we in the last days now? So the Bible says, "Ask ye the Lord for the rain in the time of the latter rain." Well, that would tell me that if God's will is just to do things, of course he would want the rain, because then it would cause people to be blessed and things to change. If God could just do it, he would bypass the imperfect people that he has to work through and depend on. But he can't do it without us. He needs us to ask for the rain. That's why oftentimes in prayer meetings of Brother Hagin, you'd hear him say, "Send the rain, Lord. Send the rain, Lord. Rain down on a certain continent. Rain down on a certain nation. Rain down on a certain county. Rain down on a certain town. Send the rain, Lord. Send the rain." Why? He's cooperating with God. When he does that, God's hands can be untied. And God can say, "Okay, pour out the rain." And change starts to happen. Hallelujah. So we need to be asking the Lord to pour out His Spirit on our land. In Cattaraugus, in Chautauqua County, every day I'm saying, "Send the rain, Lord. Saturate every man, woman, and child, causing hearts to turn to you for the first time. Hearts to turn back to you." If we don't request it, if we don't hunger for it, ladies and gentlemen, it will not happen.
Amen.
We have a part to play, and it's called praying. It's called craving and seeking these things. Well, I told you that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7 that the manifestation of the Spirit is given that we would profit. Well, God loves us. Of course He wants us to profit. So of course He'd want the Spirit to manifest. But we know that the Spirit will just not automatically manifest, that we have a part to play in that. Think about Jesus in His own hometown in Mark chapter 6. The Bible says He could there do no mighty work except lay His hands on a few sick folk. Everywhere else He went, signs, wonders, and miracles. He gets to His own hometown and He can't do it. Well, what changed? Did Jesus get there and say, I don't want to bless these no good, rotten, dirty scoundrels. They're people I know my whole life. They treated me bad. They stole my peanut butter and jelly sandwich when I was on the lunch, on the playground. They took my lunch money. Ah, to heck with them. No. Jesus wanted to do it everywhere He went. But the Bible says that the people looked at Jesus and said, we know Him. He's a carpenter. He's just Joe Schmo. He's just Mary's son. We know his brother and his dad. Why is he doing, saying these, all these great things are happening with him? They belittled him, right? They had no honor. They had no expectation. They had no hunger. And the Bible says that He marveled at their unbelief. Other places you'd see Jesus go and the masses would gather in expectation and hunger of what He's going to do. Apparently in Nazareth when He came home, it was just like, eh. And they paid for it. They paid for it. Hallelujah. We see that. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30, it says, 31, it says, covet earnestly. Covet, 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 covet means the desire, means to crave. Covet earnestly the best gifts. He just got done talking about the 9 gifts of the Spirit. He's saying, covet them. Covet them. Why would He need to tell us to covet them if God could just do it whenever He wants to? I told you the story about Brother Hagin went into one church, had 7 out of the 9 gifts of the Spirit manifested. He goes to another church a week later, none of them. And he thinks, what is wrong with me? He gets prayer and fasting. And the Spirit of God reveals it to him, it's not you, it's them. They're not hungry for these things. God is only obligated to the hungry. Amen. I don't know if I can't get that across people's into their heads. Because this is gross. I wish I just, you're waiting to hear what I'm about to say now. Cut your head off and just jam this stuff in there. To get it in there somehow. Because the Bible says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Only the hungry and the thirsty. Only the hungry and the thirsty. Only the hungry and the thirsty. Blessed are the hungry and the thirsty. The casual, the complacent, the apathetic ones, they're not the blessed ones. The ones that a little thing will keep them out of church. The one that just, oh, I don't want to, there's a prophet of God in Fredonia. I don't want to have to drive to Fredonia 15 minutes away. Hungry. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen a hungry pack of wolves when there's the kills there? Oh, they're just hungry. Nothing's keeping it from them. Get out of their way. They're hungry. Yeah. I'm just telling you. Speaking. Sometimes I'll say things. I'll get out from under the anointing. I'm like, holy cow, I said that, but it needed to be said. Blessed are they, the hungry ones. The hungry ones, and I see it. I can't tell you how much I see it. The hungry ones are always the ones that are the most blessed. It's not even close. Yeah. Because that's what the Bible said. Yeah. I shouldn't see anything different than what the Bible says.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I don't want to come to Wednesday night service. I'm going to just tell you the truth about this. The most important thing in your life is hearing the Word of God. I don't care what else you have going on. The most important thing, and it's a good shepherd will tell you this. The most important thing to ever happen to you on a weekly basis is hearing God's Word. Nothing else compares to it. Because that's what's going to walk you into all your blessings. I'm not belittling all the other little things that you have to do. I'm not saying that. But Jesus said to Mary and Martha, when Martha had, you say, Pastor, you don't understand how busy I am. If you're too busy for the Word, that's your problem. You better change some things. There's no excuse to be too busy for the Word. Now, you might have a lot of excuses right now, but you better change some things. Because Jesus talked to Mary and Martha, and Martha was so cumbered about with much serving, had all this stuff to do, and Mary sat down to hear the Word, and Martha came to Jesus and complained and complained and complained, and Jesus said, Martha, 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 you're troubled about many things. Mary has chosen the good part. Leave her alone.
Amen.
I can't stress. I was thinking about this. I pulled into my house the other day. People don't have a revelation of the need of the Word of God in their life, of the need of the sown Word of God in their life. A Wednesday service to some people is like hanging the moon. It's like pulling teeth. Like, oh my gosh, come to church on a Wednesday. God's speaking to you in this place on a Wednesday night. It'll help you. It'll take you into things. I don't know how many times I've had people call me and tell me something they're going through, and I'll say, "Where were you the last 5 weeks? I just preached a whole series on that. That was your mail." That was your delivery service. I'm telling you the truth. Glory to God. Why am I saying all that? Because the hungry ones are the ones that are blessed. And I told you this. You might as well just get used to this. I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're all here on a Wednesday night. So we're talking about all those other backsliders that are home. I say that kidding around. Don't go home and tell them that. That was me joking around, tongue in cheek, praise the Lord. But I know sometimes people just can't be here. I get that. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the lazy, the complacent. Well, I just don't want to do anything for God. I'll tell you, some people don't want to lift a finger for God, but they want God to move the world for them. Amen. It's true. It's so true. I don't want to serve in church. I don't want to have to be there, be faithful. But yeah, oh God, help me. What are we saying all this for tonight? Because we're trying to help you. And I told you, you might as well just get used to this in this church. Yeah. Just get used to this. Your pastor is always, I'll do it with love. I'm loving. Come on, you know that. I care about you and love you. But I'm always, always going to push you in the direction of the way of God. I don't care how uncomfortable it is to say it or hear it. I'm going to always tell you, you'll be better off being hungry. You'll be better off being here when you can be here. You're better off tithing. I'm going to tell you that. You're better off walking in love. You're better off being generous when it comes, erring on the side of generosity. I'm always going to push you towards the center of God's will. Always. If you get sick of hearing it, you might as well try to find somewhere else, because I will not stray from this book.
Amen.
It's amazing how Jesus can say things, Paul can say things, but when Pastor Mike says things, people get angry and upset with me. I'm like, take it up with him. I just copied what he said. Yeah. When I tell people you'll be scattered in life. How do I even say this? I have people call me all the time from different churches. All the time. People in this church give me numbers of people to call. And they're not in a Bible teaching church, and they're just not in church. And I tell everybody that they call me with these extreme problems, relationships, children, financial, and I tell everybody the same thing. First thing you need to do is get a shepherd. And this is the qualifications of a biblical shepherd. It doesn't have to be me, but it has to be someone that will preach the word. And I tell you, and when I start to tell, I've had conversations recently where somebody directed people to me, and I've called the person, after I've talked to the person they directed me, I said, that was the biggest waste of time in my life. It didn't do them any good, in one ear out the other, because they wanted to hear something different. And I told them to help. Get in church. Get in church and get faithful, and things will start to change. They didn't want to hear it. Didn't want to hear it. In one ear, out the other. I can't help you above and beyond. I can't help you above and beyond the Word of God. But the hungry ones, we ought to be hungry for this outpouring.
Amen.
He said, covet these things. And in that last verse, and we'll close, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Why would he tell us to desire them if we didn't have to? He's telling us, desire these things. If we want to see, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, the way we're going to see this job get done for Jesus, this church explode, South Dayton be reached, the towns around this county, the county right neighboring to us, Chautauqua County, the way it's going to happen is when the outpouring of the Spirit happens, in one day, 3,000 people. It was like a normal day, all of a sudden the church got huge. Yeah. That will happen here. If we will do our part in hunger, God will do things that will be so undeniable that it was Him. And infallible proofs, the Bible says it, that word is going to spread through this place. And people are going to flock to a place like this because there's power. But I can't do it myself. It doesn't matter that Brother Hagin was hungry. It doesn't matter that Jesus went to Nazareth hungry. It doesn't matter that the will of God was to do a work. He needed the people's hunger.
Amen.
So we got to do this. Because if we don't, the will of God will go undone. Oh, man. Oh, man. We want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. That's the will of God. confirming his word with signs following. So I'm pleading with you, begging you. Now next week you're going to see how the will of God in your own life will not come to pass in what God wants for it unless you're praying it out. That things will, think you'll miss some things if you don't. So you need to be here for that, because God's not only interested in the kingdom, he's interested in you. And so I'm pleading with you from this place, and I'm going to keep telling it to you and telling it to you and tell it to you until it's like a habit, until it's like breathing, until it's like eating or drinking your normal cup of coffee every day, until it's like whatever, brushing your teeth, just a normal habit that every day I got to be pressing in. Every day I got to be seeking this. You see, some of these people around us that are hard to reach, these things, the power of God and the Spirit can bust some of these chains and binders off of these people. That's what we need. A miracle, a sign, a wonder. Hallelujah. Whether it has to be Jesus showing up in their bedroom, an angel showing up in their bedroom, a supernatural, whatever it takes, I don't care. Whatever it takes, let's be, we're the catalyst. We're the lightning rods. The lightning wants to flow, but we're the lightning rod. Amen? So from this place tonight, I'm pleading with you, do not let a day go by when you are not seeking God and craving these things. And again, it doesn't take long, right? How long does it take for Caleb to tell me when he's in a store, Dad, I want that? And if he tells me that enough, Dad, I want that. I know he really does. How long does it take? Father, send the rain! Send the rain! Send the rain! Just telling him over and over. Just letting him know, right? Not vain repetitions. Coming from a place of a heart of, I want to see the move of God. If your heart's right, send the rain. You know, you can be fervent and just be like, send the rain, Lord. Send the rain. Doesn't have to be loud and scream your head off like me. But how many of you know you can scream your head off and not have heart in it? Right? God knows our hearts. If your heart's in this, you're with this, man. You're just like, oh, send the rain, Lord. Every day I just think about that place. Just, I can't wait till that's not big enough anymore. Praise God. This is an untapped harvest in this region. Untapped heart. We have like a few people that have come in and out of here from this town. Everybody else is from all around. Forestville, Brockton, Cattaraugus, Dunkirk, Fredonia, different places, Cherry Creek. We need to get not only those areas, but this area too. And they're going to come when they see the love of God and the power of God. But you have a part to play in that. So let's do it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Lord, I went a little bit long, but it was worth it because people are going to benefit from this. And so, Father, we bless you tonight. We praise you and glorify you. We magnify you. Father, we make a commitment right now, Lord. We just say we will be the ones that will be the lightning rods. We will be the catalyst for your power to move on this earth. Father, we have seen clearly in the word tonight that it will not happen unless we do our part. Father, your hands are tied, so to speak, until the Christians release them. So, Father, I know your will is that you would want to send the rain, that you would want to pour out your Spirit, that you'd want the gifts of the Spirit to be in manifestation. That is your will. So, Father, we're going to pray and seek you that your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what our prayer is going to be. We're going to come after you, Father. We're going to seek you diligently, and we're going to see the salvation of our God. We're going to see the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to see the working of miracles. We're going to see signs and wonders. We're going to see infallible and undeniable proofs and evidence that you are God. People's faith will not rest in the wisdom of a man, but in the power of the living God. Hallelujah. We will have Book of Acts type days in this church. We will not. I refuse to go without it. I will not pastor a church without the move of God. I refuse to do it. Father, we love you tonight. We glorify you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, just because I don't know everybody personally, but also we have a live stream ministry over the internet, and somebody might have tuned in for the first time, or somebody might be listening in the archives in the future. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's so simple and easy. The Bible says that if you believe in him and you believe he died and rose again, you are a candidate or you are qualified for salvation. So if you want to receive Jesus, listen, I don't care if you've gone to church. I don't care if you've been a good person. Those things do not get you into heaven. Good people that don't receive Jesus go to the same hell as bad people who don't receive Jesus. People that have gone to church and never received Jesus go to the same hell that people that never went to church go to. So, Father, we want to be right with you and receive Jesus. You said if we call on the name of the Lord, we'll be saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. If you're in here and you want to receive Jesus, I promise I won't embarrass you. I won't have you come forward or stand up or say anything on your own. But if you want to receive Jesus here tonight in this service, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just raise your hand? Is there anybody at all in this service that needs to receive the Lord? Anybody at all before I close? You can just put your hand up, put it right back down. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands in this service, so I trust that everybody is walking with you and is on their way to heaven. But if by chance somebody in here, Father, has not received you, or somebody listening by live stream has not received you, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord, till they simply cry out to you and say, Father, I believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I ask him to come into my heart. If that's you and you need to do that, you just simply cry out to him and he'll honor that, and he'll come and take up residency on the inside of you for the rest of your life. Father, we love you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's why I keep telling you it's important for this election coming up. Do you know God has a will for this election?
Yes.
But it doesn't matter what God's will is if people aren't praying for it. So we need to be praying. Your will be done, Father. Praying in the Spirit concerning these things, because a lot's riding on what happens in November. Well, have a blessed rest of the week. Thank you so much for coming out. We'll see you on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. You're dismissed.
My soul proclaims your greatness, Lord, rejoicing in